This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on the line with Dean Beck. It's my pleasure to welcome an old joyster back to the airwaves. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction, a joyster. I haven't heard that one yet.
Jeremy, you were on our Fender Benders original team doing your car thing.
Correct.
You've got a background as a musician. We'd know you from the Blow Waves.
Yes.
With quite a high profile bunch.
It was, wasn't it?
It was.
A mixed bunch that were
good fun. But you've kind of taken a new direction in life. Why so?
I think it's, a collective of all those different paths that I took that led me here.
If I can get a little personal for a sec, was there a breakdown to have a breakthrough? Was there a kind of a realization that you weren't getting what you wanted out of music and cars?
Or? Totally. You've kind of hit the nail on the head. Not a breakdown, many breakdowns.
Right.
I've been soul searching for I'm 28 now, so most of my 20s has been soul searching, and I guess trying to find a purpose, like many of us do. I just went a little bit hardcore on it, and I guess it's still forming now, but
sure.
This is where I've landed, founding an organisation and a non-profit organisation aiding displaced people in Southeast Asia. It's just where I ended up, you know. I mean, you can take your pick anywhere around the world, you know, the current climate that we've got. But
tell us about the trip. We'll get to the organisation a little later, but tell us about what it was that sent you overseas and in search of something.
Correct, yes. So it ended up, this is probably 18 months ago now, I packed everything up. So, I'd quit the music and quit a job, left a relationship. Left the radio station, you know. I had a perfectly good lifestyle here in Australia. For me, it wasn't enough and not enough purpose. And I sifted through lots of organisations here and different ways to volunteer and all that sort of thing, and hit a lot of brick walls.
Was it about going, did you want to go out somewhere to do something? Did you want to do that tourism volunteering thing? Or?
Absolutely not.
Right. Okay.
I wanted the real deal, I guess, but not to go out and wave a flag and be a do-gooder. I'm not saying that any of those things are bad,
sure.
but that wasn't for me. And I guess it took me a lot of homework to try and find something, which I don't... Before I left, I didn't have something lined up, but, you know, I'd made a few connections and things like that. And so I ended up in Thailand with no real direction and floated around for a couple of months, and I travelled the whole country. And anyway, I ended up making contact with an amazing girl who is now like a sister to me, Madhavi, who runs Kid Launch, which is just her own small operation there on the western border of Thailand, right on the border with Burma. And I spent quite a few months with her in and out of the jungle, sneaking into Burma.
So she was your eyes on the ground. She sort of knew the pathways through.
She's a connection now. I didn't know that in the beginning.
Just me going
off as a, you know,
exploring.
Unqualified in anything exploring. And I ended up just meeting her. And I think we both put ourselves through the tests while we were together.
Right. Yeah, fair enough.
You know, she threw me out there. I learned to speak Thai.
Yep.
I learned to eat a lot of chili, among other interesting foods, live in the jungle, trek.
What's a gay guy doing with this Asian chick in the middle of the jungle?
That's a good question. Well, I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm maybe not your average gay guy. I don't know. And I shouldn't even say that. We can't put anybody into a category. But, I'm all about sort of some real experiences and things like that. But I think deep down it was about, having a purpose here. And at least if, you know, when my time's up, that I've leaving a good legacy and done something.
What did you find when you... I was going to say, cross the democratic border into Burma, but with Thailand's hardly democratic at present. What did you find when you got to Burma?
A lot of beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that... it's really hard to explain, but obviously very welcoming people.
Did they wonder what the hell was this guy covered in tats doing in our little town?
Absolutely. I mean, let alone not seeing a lot of white skin in there.
Yeah, sure.
Some pretty colourful tattoos. I had a lot of people grabbing at my skin.
Oh, wow.
Also, the hair on my arms that doesn't exist
there.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
That was quite interesting. But I guess to sum it up, it's just a bit of a place that's untouched from the outside world. Absolutely. But, you know, in a real nutshell, people that don't have the opportunity to really embrace their full potential, really, I guess.
And yet, certainly on the whole, they're pretty happy.
They're pretty happy, yeah.
It's pretty challenged, but pretty happy.
Pretty happy, which does beg the question, you know, which I did ask myself, and at least I was in a position where I could get the answer to it, you know, being around the villagers and the village leaders, being there with Darby from Kid Launch and sort of going, okay, well, why do these people need our help? But it's really about they're in a pretty dire situation where they're an ethnic minority, but... in saying that, this is Karen people. There's 7 million Karen people, you know, from Burma, that are in a situation where, you know, they've got little opportunity, I guess, and also the risk of their culture being destroyed. And I guess that's where, you know, my question to the leaders of the village: why do they want our help from the outside? And that is to preserve their own culture or their own people, basically.
So tell us about this this group of people, the Karen people in Burma. They've been fighting for their existence for decades now.
65 years, yeah. It's the longest running civil war in history. You know, and
what's a day-to-day sort of battle look like? I mean, we're not talking frontline war type stuff all the time. It's more insidious than that.
Yeah. Look, I mean, for the people inside Burma, the Karen people inside Burma, you know, among the other ethnic minorities, I think it is a day-to-day battle. They don't know what's coming next.
But it's not what I'm trying to get at. It's not like what we see on the news with ISIS and that type of battle. It's things, people disappearing in the middle of the night. It's it's an ongoing cleansing that is by oppression rather than by two lots of people shooting at each other.
Yeah, look, I think there is some truth in that as well, but I think it is as real as what you just said. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that mainstream media doesn't cover it because...
It's hard to get to.
I think it's hard to get to, yeah, but also the sad fact is what's in Burma that anybody from the Western world wants? Nothing, really.
Rubies is the only thing.
Well, look, yeah, there is, and there's also, you know, there is some minerals and, you know, other things that they are selling off. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's a hell of a lot there, and it's a bit of a shame that mainstream media doesn't cover it. But coming back to the point is, I think their day-to-day, it is oppression, but it is what amounts to ethnic cleansing. And
so when we saw on the news 12, 18 months ago that Burma was opened up, that all things were glossy and rosy in Burma, you could go over there and have a holiday, things were a little bit behind the eight ball, but they were working at catching up. What were your thoughts?
Well, I've been into Burma the legal way as well,
yeah.
Not just sneaking in. And I've travelled through. And it's quite similar to any tourist path that you would take. And I know it's a big smoke screen that's up, that the Burmese government has opened the doors and said, come in, you know, visit us, see our, you know, lovely country and lovely people. But
only visit these bits.
But only visit these bits. And the reality of that is, and I tried to get into some of those other states, Chin State Kachin and Kayin and all these places. You can't go there.
Roadblocks?
It's just... There is no direct line of travel to get there, unless you knew someone there. But if you knew someone there, then they're putting their life in risk to get you to visit these places. So basically, I think, you know, we do lack that awareness here that, it's a big smokescreen.
We've got no idea what's going on in half the country.
No idea, yeah.
Jeremy Wallace is with us, founder of Echo International. We'll explore more of what the organisation is doing right after this.
Bringing you the best news and views.
You're with Dean Begg.
Joy 94.9.
Jeremy Wallace is with us. He is in the studio talking about Echo International, an organisation that he founded with four or five other mates. How did you get these other guys on board?
That's a little interesting background as well. They're all very dear friends, and also my brother, which is, you know, he's one of my best friends too. And it wasn't hard. I mean, once you spread the word about what's happening, people are pretty keen to get involved. I think Australia is really good with that sort of kind-hearted approach. And we've got Ryan Stevens, who is one of my dear friends, who spent time with me there. Fred Porter, who was the manager of the Blow Waves as well. So if he can manage to get six interesting musicians around Europe and the UK, I think, he's a real strong point of the organisation too. So, yeah, we've got a really interesting bunch. But, yeah, we basically came together. We're just all, I don't want to say average people, because we're definitely not. We're pretty weird and
extraordinary people, I'd suggest. What do you five guys hope to do with Echo International, or what are you doing with the organisation?
I think, you know, it is evolving. I mean, I didn't even know that I would have an organisation. You know, I've been back a year now. I guess we really just want to be at grassroots level, that, you know, we don't have an ego. We're not here to wave a flag that we're doing good and all the rest of it and make a name for ourselves. We really want to open up the human side of this, that it's actually as easy as just doing. We want to have a real avenue for people to get involved and not just donate. I mean, yes, please give us your money. That's great. But, you know, if you really want to be involved and be connected, we want to create that avenue. We don't want to just be another organisation asking for your money.
But is it about providing infrastructure for villages? Is it about feeding kids? Is it about inoculating kids? Is it about pens, pencils and books?
It's all of the above, really. We are not constricted to one particular thing. One of our main focuses is empowerment with and education is one of the big ones, and I guess that is one of our big sort of foundations for the organisation. Kid Launch Deals, which is our beneficiary, deals with education throughout a lot of Thailand, sort of through that border region. So our key focus is empowering people to be self-sustainable within their community. You know, we don't want to take people from their community. We don't want to, you know, have them as refugees in another country or anything like that. We want to try and preserve the culture and their way of living, because it is beautiful and they are happy. So it's about empowering people within the community to become sustainable.
It's also bloody political in a lot of ways, and it kind of has to be in raising awareness. There is clearly a disconnect between the freedoms that we enjoy here and what they have to endure over there. Being born into it, you don't know any different, and so what right do we have to impart our thoughts of what our society is on these others? But you can only wonder what could be if things were just a little different.
Absolutely. But we can help to make that a little different. We assess these communities. It's inclusive with the people of the community, you know, and it's about what is important to them. Basically we're just creating opportunity where it doesn't exist. And yeah, it's really not as complicated as what you think. Yes, it is political, but it's human beings helping human beings, basically.
Jeremy Wallace, may you continue to do the excellent work through Echo International. We are happy to bring any attention that you require to the airwaves whenever you need it. Echointernational.org.au is the website. Jeremy Wallace is the founder. Thank you very much for joining us on the line.
Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Appreciated.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.